Well, for our sermon this morning, we're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 22. And right before our passage, Jesus encounters a group of Sadducees. And they were trying to stump Jesus by asking him questions about the resurrection, which is a little bit strange for a Sadducee because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. When the Sadducees got stumped by Jesus instead of the other way around, their turn was over, and the Pharisees decided to test Jesus. We're going to pick up with the beginning of that Pharisees' attempt to stump Jesus in Matthew 22:34, and we're going to read on through verse 46. So if you would, and you're able, please rise again for the hearing of God's word. We read in Jesus' holy name. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And these two commandments depend the law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? And whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." And he said to them, "How is it then that David, in the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, your word is truth. We pray today that you might sanctify us by that truth. God, today as we look at your word from the book of Matthew, I pray that you would show us our great sinfulness and need for a Savior and point us to Jesus Christ. Allow us to rest in his finished work. By your word, strengthen us, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, our sermon text for today is a pretty familiar one, but if you grew up in a Lutheran church and you went through confirmation classes and read through the catechism, it's going to be a text that's probably even more familiar to you. And why is that? Because one of the main parts of Luther's small catechism is the teaching of the law of God in the Ten Commandments. See, those two tables of the law are summed up in what Jesus has to say to the Pharisees here. The first table of the law, which is the first three of the commandments, first to have no other gods before him, not to take the Lord's name in vain, and to keep the Sabbath day, they're all summed up in loving God. The second table of the law, those last seven commandments, to honor your father and mother, not to murder or commit adultery, not to bear false witness or to covet anything that your neighbor have, well, they're all summed up in the love of your neighbor. And when Jesus responds to this question from the lawyer among the Pharisees here about the greatest commandment, he responds by quoting a section of Deuteronomy. It's actually a really important section of Deuteronomy. Jesus is quoting the second half of this Hebrew creed that goes by the name of the Shema. And if you were in Sunday school a couple weeks ago, I sang part of it in Hebrew. I'm not going to do that now because this is being recorded. It's embarrassing. But the Shema is a very important creed. And that word Shema, it simply just means listen or hear. It's the first word in the creed from Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. And it goes like this in English. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." If we were to read through the rest of that section of Deuteronomy, you would find that these words, that short little creed, was supposed to be something that was diligently taught to all Hebrew children. It was supposed to be the talk in the household. It was supposed to be the talk as they went along the road and did what they were going to do. God tells them to bind that word on their hands and on their heads. So the Jewish faithful would actually write the words of this passage out in another section of Scripture and put it in a little leather box called a phylactery and bind it to their heads and bind it to their left arm. They'd also write it down and put it in a little wooden box and nail it in by the doorposts of their house. It was called the mezuzah. And these words were bound inside those phylacteries and those mezuzahs. So to say that a teacher of the law, that a Pharisee, one of the religious leaders, should have been familiar with this text is a bit of an understatement. So when Jesus responds here the way that he does, it's almost as if Jesus is saying, why are you asking me this? Every Hebrew child knows the answer. You were taught this as a youth. Don't you recall looking at the mezuzah as you went in and out of the house? Don't you remember what's bound to your forehead and to your arms? Every child, from the youngest, knows the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. Everyone knows that. And it may sound a bit overly simplistic, but the love of God and the love of your neighbor is something that really does sum up all 10 of the commandments. You see, if we truly were to love God above all things, we certainly wouldn't be serving other gods. We wouldn't be taking his name in vain. We would be honoring the Sabbath day and honoring the hearing of his word. If we truly loved our neighbors as ourselves, we would give our parents the honor they deserve. We wouldn't go around killing people or hating people. We wouldn't go and cheat on our spouses. We wouldn't steal things from our neighbor. We wouldn't be lying about our neighbor or coveting his things. See, as Jesus goes on, he teaches that love of God and love of neighbor doesn't just sum up the law of God. It's not just the Ten Commandments, but that on those two commandments to love depend the law and the prophets. The way that Jesus sums up this foundation of God's love, or God's law, to love both him and neighbor, it's the foundation of all of the law. But it isn't the foundation of the gospel. You see, even if we're talking about loving Jesus, we're still talking about something that's law, something that we do, rather than something that's gospel. It sure is nice to be able to sum up the law in such a simplistic way. When we go out and live our lives, we don't have to bring a giant rule book with us and flip through and try and figure out how to act in every situation. Instead, we consider, are my actions loving God? Are my actions loving my neighbor and doing what's in their best interest? It's much more simple than dragging around a giant rule book to try and figure out how to live our lives. It's simple in concept. It's easy to think about and easy to say, but in actuality, loving God in every situation and loving our neighbor as ourself is something that's impossible to do. You see, the truth of the matter is that all too often we fail to love God, and we fail to love our neighbor. Most of the time, we instead choose to love ourselves with the resources that we have. And then maybe if one of our neighbors is going to give us something in return, we'll love them. And then if anything's left over, maybe we'll use that to love God. So when we stand before God, if we're being honest at all, we're going to have to say that we have not loved him with our whole heart. And we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We'll have to confess that because of that, we deserve punishment for today and damnation for eternity. But punishment for today, that punishment that we deserved isn't what we received from God, is it? Instead, God shows us something else. He shows us the love that we should be showing to him. See, in the children's message, we talked about all the different kinds of love. And the kind of love that God has shown to us is that agape love, that unconditional love that comes purely from his goodness and his grace and his mercy. It doesn't come because he's found any worthiness or any merit in us. Just because God is gracious, he loves us. And God shows that in sending his only begotten Son into this world to save us from our sins. At about the middle point of our sermon text today, after Jesus has answered the question of this lawyer of the Pharisees, he decides to ask a question himself. He asks them, whose son is the Christ? And they quickly respond, of course, the Christ is going to be the son of David. And that's a correct response. It's absolutely right. But Jesus goes on and kind of confuses them more than a little bit. He says, how is it possible that David then in the Spirit calls the Christ Lord? You see, that question was too much for the Pharisees, and they had no answers, which is crazy because the answer to Jesus' question was Jesus. The answer to his question was staring these Pharisees right in the face. You see, they had been correct in saying that the Christ would be the Son of David. Jesus was the Son of David. He was born of the Virgin Mary, a descendant of King David himself. Jesus was her flesh, but he was also David's Lord, because he was true God, begotten of the Father before all eternity. See, this God-man, Jesus Christ, he is the only man in all of history that loved with that pure agape love that we have been called to love with. He's the only one that ever perfectly fulfilled the law of God and loved God with his whole heart and soul and mind and strength. He's the only one that fulfilled God's call to love his neighbor as he loved himself. You see, that's the love that allowed Jesus to endure the suffering on the cross. That's the love that the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans 5:8 when he says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, Jesus is the only one that's ever loved with perfect and pure agape love. And only he fulfilled that law of love for God and his neighbor. And only he was able to build on that foundation of agape love and live a perfect and righteous life. But Jesus makes that perfect and righteous life available to us. He makes it available because his love extended all the way to the cross. His love for mankind kept him on the cross, even as the wrath of God was poured out on him for his sin. In his great perfect love, Jesus sacrificed himself in order to earn for us the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and adoption as children of God. And we know that Jesus' sacrifice was enough. We know that because he didn't stay dead. Jesus rose again from the dead 3 days later in victory over sin and over death and over the devil, just like we read about in Sunday school this morning from Hebrews. Now Jesus transforms our sinfulness into his righteousness. He changes our selfish lovelessness into his selfless love. He pours his love into us just as he poured out his blood on the cross. You see, this is the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he pours forth his love into us and onto us. You see, the direction of love is another thing that differentiates the law of God from that good news of the gospel. You see, when the direction of the love is from us to God or us to others, we're talking about the law of God. But when the direction of love is from God to sinful mankind, we're talking about the gospel. See, oftentimes we fail to love God. We fall short of his call to love our neighbor. Oftentimes we break the law of God. But God never fails. He never falls short. He never stops loving us. And so the gospel, that good news, is a sure and unshakable promise because it's based on God who never fails. You see, even as God pours out his love into us, he also pours his love through us. God's love reaches out through us and it touches our neighbors. The Holy Spirit, he uses our everyday activities to love our neighbors. So what does this mean for us? It means that our job, it's no longer just a job. We're no longer just showing up to get a paycheck or to make our boss happy or to get that next advancement in our career. Our job is work that is done for the Lord. Our families are no longer just a thing we take care of. We don't just provide and take care of them anymore and serve them. Instead, we are serving the Lord. When we go out and care for others in need in our communities, we're not just providing for and serving them, we're serving the Lord. Just as Jesus said in Matthew 25 about the last day, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these brothers, you did it to me." You see, the Holy Spirit uses even those everyday acts of love as opportunities to bring the good news of salvation to the people we encounter as we live out our lives in this world. See, there was once a time in each of our lives where we viewed God as an enemy. But by grace, through faith, he fills us with his love and he makes us his beloved children. There once was a time when we were not a people, but by grace, through faith, God makes us his people. There once was a time where we were nothing but slaves to sin, but by grace, through faith, we are the free people of heaven. We were once subject to nothing but God's eternal wrath and judgment, but by grace, through faith, we are subject now to God's eternal love. God's love through his Son, it has conquered sin, it has conquered death, and it's conquered the devil. And it has also made those who believe to be God's children with an unshakable eternal hope. Rest not in your ability to love God, but rest in his love, which is shown in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for your love for us, your love that culminated in sending your Son to live and suffer and die and rise again, that we might be forgiven, that we might be called your children, and that we might have eternal life with you. God, allow us to trust in that finished work and rest in it. God, also strengthen us by your word. Use us as your servants to love our neighbors in your name. And when those opportunities arise, allow us to speak the truth of your gospel of salvation into their lives too. God, bless us today by your word and strengthen us for your service. We pray in your holy name. Amen.